Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM.
The end of the year is a really important time to get our finances in order, mainly because this is the time of year we tend to overspend, whether it's on buying gifts, eating out, entertaining. Our wallet is hit hard at the end of the year, and so it's a great time to really get focused on where is your money going and where should it be going.
Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here. Just a quick reminder, if you haven't done so already, head on over to Apple Podcasts or the link in the show notes to leave the show a 5-star review. And in that review, tell me your best money-saving tip that you have. I'm going to be highlighting a few of these reviews throughout the month as just a personal thank you. And all the reviews really help out the show. So thank you so much for just taking it just a little minute out of your time to go over and give us some love. Well, we're almost at the end of the year, and this is always a time we are super focused on our money. While the beginning of the year is a great time to really jumpstart your money and your goals, I don't want to forget about the end of the year because this can be a great time to just take advantage of last minute planning. And our guest, Autumn Lacks, she is a certified financial planner. She's a wealth management specialist with Drucker Wealth Management, and she's here sharing a few of her best tips for year-end planning with your money. We talk about how to do an annual budget planning session, why you might want to harvest some of your tax losses, how to maximize your benefits before the year ends, and what to do to set yourself up money-wise for a brand new year. You can use this episode as your year-end money guide and do a little DIY money planning before the clock hits January 1st. Autumn, I am so, so excited to have you join us on the podcast and talk all about year-end money planning. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. I'm excited.
So before we jump into year-end money planning, I would love to just hear your thoughts about what you think maybe some of the biggest money takeaways have been thus far for 2021. Is there anything that's really sort of popped out this year?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because I would say confidently 100% of the clients I've worked with this year have found that they are spending a ton of money dining out. That has been a huge aha moment. And I think it's really indicative of, you know, sort of the pandemic lifestyle and just everything we've been going through the last few years. But that's a big money suckage for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm definitely guilty of it myself this year as well. I think it's like we felt like we couldn't eat out at all for a year, or depending on where you live. I lived in Los Angeles at the time, so we definitely, I think it was a good like 18 months mm-hmm. before we could really dine out or dine in a restaurant. So, you know, it felt like the one luxury we could kind of, or the one sense of normalcy, I guess we could kind of bring back into our life. But it's definitely easy to overspend without even really consciously being aware that you're overspending.
So true. And, you know, it's so convenient nowadays to just have your, you know, food delivery on some sort of auto schedule, or, you know, not really pay attention to how much is going on the credit card. And just, I hear a lot of clients say that their relationship with money is more focused on, I take a chunk of money every now and then and pay off, you know, debt, or I take a chunk of money when I have it and dump it into savings. There's no real purpose around it. And I think that mindset also allows us to get out of control with spending a little bit.
Yeah, I love that you talk about mindset. It's one of my kind of core principles that I love to talk about on the show. And kind of along those lines, I find that at the end of the year, this is often a time where we're reflecting, maybe slowing down. And then it feels like the moment January 1 hits, our minds go into just complete overdrive and we start to set ourselves up for success. But there's kind of these two big swings. I wonder if you have any suggestions or ways to maybe gently combine both. So we feel like we're moving out of the year, we're setting ourselves up great. But then when we hit beginning of January, maybe it doesn't have to feel so, I don't know what the word is. It's like we feel like we have to have this complete energy boost towards our finances.
Yeah, it's so true. And there's often a lot of guilt that's associated with that beginning of a new year feeling of I need to now get myself into shape. And I think one of the ways that we can mitigate that at year end is really with a budget. And I know that's not a sexy word, but I'm a huge fan of budgeting. And at the firm I work with, Drucker Wealth, we actually have all of our clients who do a financial life plan with us go through a budget exercise because it brings a lot of awareness to where money is going. And then with that awareness, you can start to really drill down on what should I be doing with my money? Where is it going now and where should it be going? And then how much can I allocate to all the different buckets? And the end of year is such a great time if you don't have a budget to get one in place, because you have the whole year to look back on, to reflect on, and to really sort of average out, you know, a truer picture of what your spending has looked like. And then it's a great way to set yourself up for that new year so that you're not going into, you know, January 1 feeling like, oh my gosh, I have so much ground now to make up for.
And are there easy, I use that in air quotes, easy ways to approach budgeting? Because so many people obviously hate the word budgeting. Maybe it hasn't worked for them in the past, or maybe they just didn't even know what they're doing or what they're looking for. So are there suggestions of how to go through this budget planning process in a way that feels maybe a little less stressful and maybe makes a little more sense as to why we're doing it?
Sure. I would say starting off, don't feel like doing a budget means that you have to account for every single penny, because I think that can in itself be very overwhelming. I would really look at the budget as more, again, going back to that word awareness, just having an idea of where money is going and looking at it and paying attention to it is sometimes the biggest step in the process. But to make it easy, I would suggest, and I tell a lot of my clients to do this, go through the last 3 months of either your credit card spending or bank statements, wherever you're putting the majority of your money, and just average it out. So there are a lot of different tools out there that you can use, from Excel spreadsheets to PDF documents that are fillable. And that works for some. It's overwhelming for others. But I think if you just go through the actual statements and look at what you're spending and look at each category, where is the money going? That's the best first step.
So once you sort of have that awareness piece of where all the money is going, are you looking for patterns or trends or maybe some things that stick out at you where you're thinking, maybe I could do that a little bit better?
Yeah, I think, you know, there are certain expenses that we just can't trim, and there are others that we definitely have more control over. And I think having the budget in place allows us to see what those different categories are, and then to really hone in on the ones that we have more control over and the ones that we can sort of trim back. And then, you know, the ultimate goal is really sort of determining your capacity to save and what truly is available to put towards maybe more purposeful spending, whether that's adding to your retirement account, increasing a taxable savings, paying off debt, just knowing that you can focus your money in areas that are going to move you forward in life.
I really like that statement, purposeful spending, because I think that, I mean, we're all guilty of it, right? We spend money places and then we think, where did that money go? Or we get extra money at the end of the year. Maybe we get a bonus. And then all of a sudden we look at our bank account and we're like, wait, where did that money go? And it's almost like you have this like moment of amnesia and you just you can't even remember.
It's so true. And I'm guilty of it as well. I love to shop and I get it. You know, we're all human. And I do hear a lot of clients say those very words. I make a lot of money, but I don't have anything to show for it. And I don't know where it's going. So it's not like, oh, I bought this big thing and I have, you know, something to look at to say that this is where my money went. Most of the time, we just don't know. It's kind of evaporating. And so when you can look at your budget, look at where money's going, and then start directing it into vehicles that are a little more tangible, I think that helps. And another thing that I'm a big fan of is automating savings, because if you can automate the money going into different savings buckets or savings vehicles, then we don't have to consciously think about where to put it. And it's not in our bank account available to spend. It's just sort of on autopilot. I think a lot of people work well with that method. It's sort of the mindset behind our 401k. You just set it and forget it and the money goes. And I know that works well for me.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of automating. I automate paying my bills. Anything I can automate where I have to take the guesswork out of it just seems to really work. So you brought up this idea of savings buckets. I like this a lot. Tell me about what sort of saving buckets we should be focused on. Are there any guidelines for how much we should be saving?
Yeah, so there are three main buckets that we focus on in our financial planning practice. And those buckets are really your now, your soon, and your later. And essentially what that means is you have one bucket, the now bucket, that is your emergency cash reserves. And it's also planned expenses that you know are coming up in the next, say, 6 to 12 months. So this is money that you want to have set aside and readily available, and you don't really want it invested in the market. You don't want it subject to fluctuations because you know that you need to spend it. And the middle bucket, which is your soon bucket, is more for 5 to 10 years out. So this is money that maybe you're saving for a down payment on a home, or maybe you know you need a new car in a few years. Bigger expenses you want to save for, but you don't need to access it immediately. You can set aside money in that sort of bucket and you can stand to invest it. You want it to grow a little. You want that money to work for you and you don't need it right away. And then your last bucket is your retirement piece. And so that is the last money that you will ever touch. You really want to earmark it for way down the line and not think about touching it until you actually stop working. And from an investment standpoint, you can stand to be a little bit more aggressive in the way that you invest that money and grow that money, because it's not something you're going to touch tomorrow or even in the next 2 to 3 years.
I like that. I like that visualization of the different buckets, and somehow that just makes it really easy to figure out what you're doing when. Another thing I wanted to ask you, so talking about goals, we're rolling into a new year. It's kind of the time where we all set some new goals or some new intentions. How do we incorporate our goals into our budget?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. So first is really determining what your goals are. And I think the new year, the start of a new year, is a perfect time to do goal setting and to really just think about what is it that you want to achieve personally, financially. It's so different for every individual, but first outlining those goals, whether it's buying a house or just wanting to be, you know, on track for retirement, is a goal in itself. So sometimes a person might feel like, well, there isn't anything specific or tangible I'm trying to achieve, but I just want to make sure that I'm doing the right things. I'm taking the right steps now to put myself in, you know, set myself up for success later on. And with the buckets, you're sort of segmenting money for those different purposes and making sure that you have the money allocated, or that you're automating the money to start building for those needs. And it's easier to visualize, like you said, where money's going, what it's for, and when you should and shouldn't access it.
Okay. I like that a lot. I think visualization with money in particular is really fantastic, because there are so many acronyms and so much jargon that sometimes it's just really hard to figure out, like, what comes first? What do I do first? And what do I do if I make a mistake or things aren't going correctly? So I like that a lot. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about, kind of year end, is in investments. It's obviously something, a subject that so many people are very, very interested in. And this idea of tax loss harvesting. I'm curious, you could talk to us a little bit about, like, what does that mean? And why in the world would we want to do that?
Yeah, tax loss harvesting means that essentially you're taking a position in your investment portfolio that has lost money throughout the year and selling it to harvest that loss. So when you sell the position that has lost money, you can then use that loss to offset any gains. And it's something that some financial advisors will do for you, but if they're not, make sure you're asking about it, because it can be really beneficial in a year where we've had a lot of volatility and you've had positions within your portfolio take a steep decline and then maybe rebound and bounce back up, and now you have gains. And so being able to tactfully offset some of the gains so that you're not paying as much in taxes at year end, it can be really meaningful.
I like that. I like to offset gains.
Right. No one wants to pay more taxes. So any little thing that we can do to try to help is always a good thing.
Yeah. And I know you don't have obviously a crystal ball, and as a certified financial planner, your job is not to predict the future, but I'm wondering, are there any things happening in kind of this wild market we have right now that you think we need to keep our eye on?
Yeah, it's a hard one because a lot of what we're seeing right now is driven by, headlines in the news. And sometimes that can be really unpredictable. So my best advice, honestly, is have a diversified portfolio, understand your time horizon, which goes back to those buckets. Is your money invested for, you know, something you're going to need in the next couple of years, or is it invested for the long run? And if it is invested for the long run, like your retirement accounts, don't stress over the day-to-day headlines, because ultimately it's not going to matter. We've seen an incredible run-up in the market over the last decade plus, and a lot of younger people who have just started investing, they only know that upside. And, you know, we have to imagine the pendulum is going to swing the other direction at some point, but really we can't time the market and we can't time when any of this is going to happen. So I would just say the best advice is just stay invested, know your time horizon, and try not to panic over the short-term stuff.
I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. And I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. You brought up this idea of diversified portfolio. So I ask almost every guest that comes on and we talk about investing because it still feels like something where a lot of people are confused about what that means. So in your words, what does it mean to have a diversified portfolio?
Yeah, I mean, the easy way to explain it is not having all your eggs in one basket. But what does that really mean? It's making sure that your money is allocated across a variety of different investment avenues. And so just to give some examples, you can have money broadly within stocks, bonds, or cash. And that's diversifying. So if you had all of your money in stocks and the stock market went down, all of your money is going to go down. If you have all of your money in bonds, which is much more conservative way of investing, you may not be able to capture the growth when the market is doing well. So we start with diversifying by using those three very broad asset classes and then drill down from there. And you can get very granular in terms of diversification. So within the basket that has your stocks or your growth portion of your portfolio, you can drill down to, you know, tech stocks or healthcare. And you want to have a little bit in all of the different categories. Also a little bit in regions. So not all US, not all international, but a little bit in both. And so those are different ways that you can diversify. And the more you have spread out into different areas, generally the better off you are, because if one particular area does very poorly, it's likely that the other areas you're invested in are going to be doing well and vice versa. So if you had all of your money in tech stocks, well, while tech is booming, you're living the high life and you're doing great. But as soon as tech starts to take a dive, all your money is going with it. And so at any given moment, one area is doing well and another's not. And you can mitigate your losses by spreading it out.
And is that something that working with a CFP like yourself, something that you help people figure out how to do that and what is best for their risk tolerance and their goals?
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever I work with a client and we go through their financial plan, I always analyze their current investments as part of the process and then provide recommendations on how they can better diversify their portfolio. And it does definitely take into consideration personal risk tolerance, because some people just can't sleep at night knowing that the market is going to jump all over the place. And that's going to really dictate what you're invested in versus someone that, you know, maybe is a little bit riskier and they're okay with some of those short-term fluctuations. We can choose different investments. So it gets very personal and very specific. And I definitely help all of our clients figure that out, because doing the research on your own can be very overwhelming.
Yes. Exclamation point. Just curious, where did your love for helping people with their money, where did that come from?
I know, that's a funny question. I feel like I've always been that person that like saved every bit of my babysitting money and, never opened my piggy bank. And I watched, you know, my parents go through some ebbs and flows with their own finances. And I think that I just, I developed a love for wanting to help people because it's not something that comes natural to a lot of people. We don't have classes typically in school that teach us about money. And then all of a sudden we're out in the work world and don't really know what to do with it. And I realized that this is real. There's really a need for financial education.
I love that. Yeah. And so I would imagine I'm a fellow CFP myself. And what I loved about learning about money is that you can then utilize it in your own life. And it's not that you're going to do everything perfectly, because I'm the first person to stand up here and say, hello, money expert, have not done everything perfectly, but that you have kind of this expertise you can carry with you. I think that's like a really cool thing. And listening to shows like this and meeting with people like yourself, you just get this knowledge that, like you're saying, you don't get anywhere else.
Yeah, it's so true. And it is tangible knowledge, because money affects all of us. So it doesn't matter how much you make or where you came from. Money affects all of us in some capacity. And so it's really valuable knowledge to have.
So going back to thinking about the end of the year, for those of us who work in a company, we may have benefits, or maybe we want to maximize year-end contributions. Like, what steps do you think we should take to make sure we really take advantage of everything that we've got before the year end?
Yeah, I think there are a few key areas that you can take a look at. One is assessing whether you've fully funded your HSA or health savings account, if you have one, because there are certain limits that you can contribute to each year. And you want to make sure that you have that maxed out before December 31st. And the other is your employer retirement plan. So again, maybe at the beginning of the year or when you first started with the company, you set a certain percentage to defer into your 401k or retirement plan, and then just sort of forgot about it from there. I think this is a good time of year to assess, are you maxing that out? You know, how much are you actually contributing each year? And if you're someone who has changed jobs mid-year, you might have multiple retirement plans that you've been contributing to. So I think just taking a look at what you've contributed, making sure you're taking advantage of maxing out the most that you can. And then another one that, you know, we don't always typically think about is satisfying required minimum distributions. This is something that is associated often with retirees, but I have several young clients who have inherited a retirement account from a relative, and those come with minimum distribution requirements that you have to satisfy, even if you yourself are far from retirement. So those are just a few things that I think are important to look at this time of year and make sure that you're really taking advantage of.
And you mentioned inheriting money. I've actually gotten a few questions from listeners lately about inheriting money in the last couple of years and just not having any idea of what to do about it. Do you have any thoughts on how to even think through what you should do with inherited money, whether you have taxes associated with it? I mean, I know there are so many X factors and asterisk marks, but just curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it is one where all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation and it's great to have extra money, but there's a lot that goes along with that. I think working with a financial professional is a good first step, and you know, maybe even coordinating with a financial advisor and a CPA, depending on the situation. But retirement accounts that you inherit can be particularly tricky, and knowing all the ins and outs of it, it's not something that I would want to navigate on my own if I wasn't a CFP. So I would say just get a professional involved and help you with that process.
Very good advice. I love that. And you are also a wealth management specialist. I mean, it just sounds really cool. So everybody always wants to know, like, what are the secrets? So of all the people you've worked with, what do you think are some of the core secrets or strategies, I guess, to actually building wealth?
Yeah, it's not flashy. I'm going to tell you that right up front. Save more and spend less. That's the honest truth. The amount of money that you can start saving has such a compounding effect on your wealth overall that it's just really mind-blowing. And the younger you are and the younger you can start saving, you have something really amazing on your side, which is time, because it's very difficult to wake up in your 50s and realize you haven't saved enough because now you just don't have as much time. And if you can save $100 a month or $500 a month, it's a lot easier than trying to make up, you know, now I have to put $5,000 a month or $10,000 a month aside just to make ends meet, just to have enough in my retirement bucket. So that's really the big secret.
I love it. A secret that's not really a secret, but we all just kind of want to glaze over it because you're right. It doesn't sound sexy. And okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like $1 million wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
And what if we're in a situation where either this year or maybe, you know, starting out next year, we're going through some sort of life change, maybe getting married or having a baby or starting a business, something big? Should we be just reassessing our money kind of all the way around, or what should we be focusing on?
Absolutely. I mean, life changes all the time. And what, you know, you might be doing right now financially isn't necessarily going to work for you next year or 5 years from now. So anytime there are big changes on the horizon, definitely take a look at your finances and assess. You know, with a marriage, you're joining assets together a lot of the time. And that's a time to have a conversation about how do you want to handle things now that you're going to be sort of combining and mixing debts and accounts and saving strategies and even goals. Because I've met with a lot of couples and we get to the section of our financial planning where we're talking about goals, and they look at each other and say, I have no idea. I've never thought about that. And so you want to be on the same page in terms of where you're going in the future. If you're expecting a new baby, that's going to bring a lot of additional expenses. So make sure that you have that savings cash cushion built up. Make sure that you have flexibility in your budget to absorb some of those added expenses. Look at your benefits through work and make sure that you know what your health insurance is going to cover. So there's a lot that you can do to prepare for big milestones.
I like that a lot. Yeah. And I'm sure that there's somebody just dying to know this. So tell me a little bit about what is the process when somebody hires someone like yourself as a certified financial planner to help them with their money? Because there's always this fear, right, of somebody's looking in on my finances, they're making judgments, maybe I feel shame or anxiety, and maybe so I'm nervous to do this process. So what does it look like to actually work with a financial planner?
Yeah, you really hit the nail on the head there, because the first thing I will tell a new client is this is a no judgment zone, because I do hear that a lot. A lot of people come to us and say, I know I need help, but I'm scared. You know, I'm scared to actually peel back the curtain and look at what is going on in my life. Or I'm scared to see how far off track I am. And so I do tell people up front, you know, this is a no judgment zone, because you're coming to me to, you know, to go through this process. That is a big step in and of itself. And what the process actually looks like in a nutshell is that we start with a budget, we look at their expenses, look at everything that you're spending. And that's usually the part that people are most afraid of. But from there, we collect statements from all of their investment accounts. We collect their pay stub. We get documents from their employer benefits. And then we start combing through all of that information and providing recommendations for, here's what you have, here's what you're doing currently, sort of a snapshot of your current picture. And then here's what you could be doing differently to sort of set yourself up a little bit more successfully in the future.
I like that no judgment zone. That's sort of the rule of this show as well. Okay, I want to create kind of a maybe an actionable checklist, if you will, for everyone. We've talked about so many different things, but what do you think are maybe the top, I don't know, two or three important year-end money steps that we need to start taking right now?
Yeah, well, if I have not said this word enough during this session, Start with a budget. That's one of my favorites. So definitely budget would be the top of the checklist. Automate some sort of savings. So if you're doing it already, great. If you're not, you know, pick a number, put something into savings, just start the process. And then look at your retirement plans at work and make sure that you're maxing those out. I think that's really important because if you have a match, you know, through your retirement plan, that's free money. You want to make sure you're taking advantage of that. A lot of the benefits offered through work, you can't get outside of your employer. So I would definitely say that's top of the list as well.
All right, Autumn, you have us in check now for year end. We're feeling good about our money. Tell everyone where they can go to find you and connect with you.
Yes, you can email me, autumn@druckerwealth.com, or head on over to our website, druckerwealth.com, and I would be happy to book a quick intro visit. We can just chit chat about your situation and see where we go from there and what we can do to help.
I know, at least for me, the end of the year is sometimes a time when I'm very careless with my money, where I just spend. I'm not focused on my goals. I'm not thinking about anything other than spending money. Sometimes just all of the sale ads and the emails just seem to be flying at me. And it's almost like I lose my sense of self and I become super irrational. But this conversation with Autumn, it really reminded me to be intentional and purposeful, and that the year end can be a wonderful time to review everything that's going on with your money and help you get really set up so that when you roll into the new year, it's almost like you don't have to think about things. They're automated. They're already happening. They're already moving in those money buckets like Autumn talked about. If you enjoyed this episode, do me a favor, share it with friends, family members, anyone who you know needs to get a little ahead of the game this year end. As always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to the episode guest, as well as all of our amazing episode sponsors who make this podcast possible.